I read an interesting thing about President Abraham Lincoln, who was once embroiled with a dispute with a colleague and unable to get his opponent to see the error of his thinking. Lincoln said, "Hey, let me ask you a question. How many legs does a cow have?" "Well, four, of course." "Okay, well, now suppose," continued the president, "what if you call the cow's tail a leg?" "Well, then how many legs does a cow have?" "Well, five," replied the man. "See, that's where you're wrong," replied Lincoln. "Calling a cow's tail a leg does not make it a leg."
Wow.
That's quite a tale.
You see, the world we live in seems obsessed with calling a cow's tail a leg for fear of offending the cow who insists that he has five legs. Tolerance has become a virtual idol, and the number of its worshipers seems to grow daily. And faced with so many differing claims to what is true or what is the proper way to live one's life, intolerance has become the only acceptable response. A person who believes in transcendent truth is regarded by the world with suspicion and, paradoxically, intolerant.
If I could turn back time.
Whoa. Tony, can you mute my headphones?
If I could find a way, I would take back the things that hurt you and you'd stay.
Hey, that's going to be the sickest beginning.
Why does it do that?
That song's big right now. Tracy Chapman, I think it was in the 80s, came out with that song originally.
Oh, and, was it? I thought it was Cher was the original.
No, I think you're right. I'm thinking of a different song.
Yeah, Cher.
That's right. No, you're right.
You know Cher? You guys know how old Cher is now?
102.
Well, Ray would know because he's Sonny Bono.
I knew that was coming. I used to look like Sonny Bono.
I know. Now
he was a good-looking guy.
Oh, yeah, it was.
He was a mayor. He was a mayor of somewhere, wasn't he?
A what? Who?
He was a mayor.
He was a politician. I don't know if he was a mayor.
He became a mayor of Hirschwald.
He did?
Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
But you guys know how old Cher is now? Take a guess.
She's probably 78. 80?
What, Dad?
78.
86.
Hey, pretty close. 77. Or 78. Yeah, I think maybe.
Just give it a year.
Wait, you asked this? You don't even know the answer?
Well, I thought it was 78.
And I hope she's not listening. She'd be hurt.
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
I just saw a picture of it. Seriously, she looks like she's 25.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, makeup, facelifts, and
is that like Botox?
Wigs.
I was watching this guy on YouTube, and he breaks down celebrities on the way they look through the years.
I've seen that of Cher, and it's very cruel.
Yeah, and
I just saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
He's like, you can tell how many surgeries somebody's had, and he's breaking down every single surgery.
How old is the guy that's doing it?
That's the question. Yeah. Ray gets very offended when anyone makes fun of older people.
Old people are young people and wrinkled skin. That's where they are.
That's pretty much true.
That's definitely you.
Yeah.
Because you are a young person.
Yeah. So, guys, speaking of turning back time,
I wish we could do that.
We cannot. We will not. My question to you guys is, what would you do in terms of if you could go back and do, redo, or undo anything? What would it be?
I'd get a real job.
Get a real job. I can help with that.
Meeting you?
Meeting me.
Wait, is that an undo or a redo?
Undo. Yeah. No, but you know, guys, Ray and I have pretty much been an open book. You and Mark, Oscar, not so much. Ray was honest about being the kingpin of major apple stealing heists back when he was a kid.
Yes.
I used to steal my neighbor's apples.
Well, I had what was called an eel spear. Do you know what an eel spear? Your spear. I can't say the word spear.
Spear.
Plunge a sharp point into eel spear. And I used to go through the hedge and spear the neighbor's apples and pull them back.
What a wicked man, Ray.
And we had orchards that I used to steal from around the neighborhood. I was a real brat.
What a terrible person.
I should have
been
disciplined for it, but my parents never found out.
Can we make up for that discipline?
You have already.
Just by existing. Look, I confess to annoying my bus driver, Phil, by daily thanking him. I wish I could undo that.
Even if you kept your mouth shut, it would have the same effect.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm surprised, seriously, he never as the bus was slowing down and I stood up to walk out, put the brakes on.
He's at the door now.
Yeah, we've found him.
Yes. Phil rhymes with kill. But Mark and Oscar, you guys never talk about your past.
We're redeemed. Why?
Mark, he was going to be a burglar.
I was. Listen, my senior year, I wore a brand new clothing item every single day to high school that I stole.
You're kidding.
No. Stop.
Easy, don't laugh at that. Wait, that's terrible.
I'll cry instead. Wait, no. You wore a new pair of clothing.
Yes.
That you stole?
Every single day. Where'd you
Not steal? Not a new outfit, but a new something new.
Like a shirt, pair of pants, whatever.
Yeah.
Where'd you steal them from?
JCPenney's.
Is that where you were?
Boy.
No.
So you just cruise through and just...
We better send a check to JCPenney. So you stole 700 pair of socks.
Send a penny to JC, Mark. Yeah. What'd you say, Ray?
You stole 700 pairs of socks.
Mark, terrible.
I was, absolutely.
Yeah.
And such were some of you.
I really started to get into stealing just before I got saved.
Boy, it makes my apples seem not so bad.
Terrible. Look at Oscar. Trying to be the nice, perfect little brown angel.
brown angel.
Oh, he's a racist statement. Oscar used to steal Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start. I mean, I can rattle it off. I got kicked out of 3 schools one time for giving my own teacher a bloody nose. I've
what?
Spent the night in jail. I've threw rocks at Ferraris. Where do you want me to start?
Wait, see, this is all new. How long have we known you? We've never heard this.
Well, did we go through this Oscar. Before the podcast? Did this come up before?
In my interview?
Yeah.
All of this last week.
We're going to be talking afterwards, Oscar.
So, Easy, how many schools were you kicked out of?
I'm surprised you surpassed me, too.
Two for you.
Two for me.
3 for you.
Yeah.
3-2, and I was kicked out of 1.
Yeah, but you've been to 400 schools.
So 1, 2, 3, yeah. 14 schools.
You were kicked out of, the Bible College.
I was kicked out of what? Bible
Of all places.
He's kicked
That's
out of Bible
story.
College.
Were you?
Of all places.
Story time with Mark.
All right, Franz. Hey, we got some exciting stuff. For those of you watching this video on that special platform that we've talked about before, you see a bunch of stuff. On the desk. Oh, look at this. Glorious. We were showered. Seriously, that box, Oscar.
It's massive.
It must have weighed 50 pounds or more. So all of us have our goodies here from Dear Friends. And I want to read this. Seriously, you guys blew us away.
Honestly, thank you so much.
They called themselves our most avid Living Waters podcast listeners. They're from the Moore household. We have Daily Grace, Dabney, Dobson, Delight, Dane, and Dandel.
I'm noticing a theme.
Yeah, or the D's. They said, we just love y'all. They sent us this card. Let me just read a little bit of this. They said, hello from some of your most avid podcast listeners in Virginia, and happy, happy new year. We just wanted to put together a very small token of our appreciation for y'all and the many countless hours of encouragement, edification, instruction, and of course, some good amusement and laughs here and there. Y'all have really poured into us and many others. We truly consider y'all among our very best friends, though we've never met. Visiting y'all and the ministry someday is most certainly toward the top of our bucket list someday, Lord willing. Wow. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
So what did I get? A ginormous, I've heard of family size. This is party size. peanut butter M&M. You guys know how
I love peanut butter.
Oh, I love,
too, right?
love mm-hmm. peanut butter and chocolate. We got a bar here, chocolate bar, $1,000 bill. Yeah, right, Ray Comfort. Where's your stuff, Ray?
I took it all home last night. They gave us a handmade a little porcelain thing of Sam. Exactly. His
no
red,
way.
His red what? Collar, his oh, wow. glasses wow. were exactly right. I gave it to Daniel because he collects them. They gave us a whole stack of stuff. So I called them last night and spent 20 minutes on FaceTime with them.
Oh, you wow. did?
They got this 13 in the family.
Oh.
Wonderful family. And they said things that just blew me away. Number one, they've got 25 chickens.
Do they really?
No.
Oh, you guys are best friends.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's how many you have.
25. I got 24, 25. Or Sue and I have. It's both of us. And this is what I just so love. They breed dogs.
Oh, they're really? Kidding.
Yeah, let me show you the sort of dogs they breed. Get that off. How do we get
wow.
that?
What? Do they get sell them online?
Yes, they're big dog. They've
wow,
got.
Those are beautiful.
I said, do you have any dogs? And they said, you got 26.
What
I
kind of
it was
dog
26.
Is that?
That's a Newfoundland. It's absolutely huge. They were going to send me one when Sam passed on, but they figured it would be too heavy on my bike.
You can ride it like a horse.
Listeners, if you want, send as many dogs as you want to Ray Comfort.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love them. So we had a ball. They gave me little gifts for Lucy.
I saw that.
And that's great.
It was just wonderful. Well, I said to them, we've never had such thoughtful gifts.
Yeah. That's what I looked at. I'm like, man, these guys are close listeners because each gift that we got is so unique to like one or two things we said on the podcast.
Big time. And then we've got bars of soap and a hat. And they sent a movie for my grandkids. Unbelievable. And they put Haddon and Archer on the bag, too.
And those singing lessons.
I need those.
I got to say that I got...
What'd you get, Mark?
Two different sets of socks that I'm absolutely thrilled to death with. There's nothing that brings me more joy to my flesh than putting on a brand new pair
of
socks.
That's what I mean. Well, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
That I get, I'm so excited. My wife opened up their trunk yesterday. We went out on a little date, and there were brand new socks back there. She's all, you're always buying socks. Because I love them. I love, love, love socks.
Well, and Mark, you are the nightmare for the Name It, Claim It people, because you just said you'd be thrilled to death. That's how you can't say that.
I rebuke. I rebuke.
I got... two bags of coffee. One of them I've actually heard of before, Roadmap Coffee Works. So thank you so much. Listen to this easy. It's cranberry, milk chocolate, and pecan pie. Oh, doesn't that sound amazing?
Oh. You know what? I'm mad. That can't even be real.
Hey, careful what you say. Another gift will come.
This is my favorite, though. They sent me suspenders, and they say, for Oscar, you said you'd wear them. Reference, podcast episode 212. Don't think I won't.
Yeah.
You don't need to remind me. I will wear these.
With no shirt.
Cool. Yeah, shirtless.
Yeah, please send Oscar pants that go up to his abs. He loves those. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
You
blessed our socks off. And here we have a comment.
Or for Mark. His socks on.
Oh, socks on for Mark. Here's a comment. Friends, this is from E and E Connell. Thank you, friends, is the subject line. My husband and I have been watching your YouTube channel for a few years now. We love Ray's method of evangelizing. It has given us many tools to use when we want to speak with people about the Lord and his glorious gospel. I recently had started listening to the podcast while I clean homes for a living. It makes me enjoy cleaning because I get to laugh, be edified, and rejoice in the word. Praying you all continue to share the truth boldly and never forsake your first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, brothers, for all you do. What a blessing.
Amen. Nice.
Yeah, thank you for that encouragement. And it blesses us to know that people, you know, they maximize their time. Forget our podcast, but just when people are listening to the word or worshiping the Lord while they're working, it's such a joy. Is that super glue for your lips, Austin? Please, please.
It's cappuccino flavored.
Oh, no.
Chapstick?
Coffee flavored chapstick.
Thank you. I got some too.
I got to look at mine here in a bit. All right, friends. This podcast was brought to you by the School of Biblical Evangelism textbook. 101 Lessons, How to Share Your Faith Simply, Effectively, and Biblically the Way Jesus Did. Yes, we do have an online version, but I don't want to promote it today. Just the textbook, of which Mark Spence had a hand in.
Did you? What'd you do?
True.
Pretty much wrote it.
it was a fun project. Yeah, it was 125 lessons to begin with, but Lynn Copeland pulled out the scalpel and brought it down to 101.
Oh, Lynn's amazing.
That's not so bad.
Yeah.
She removed all the good stuff.
All right, friends, make sure to check it out. That's the School of Google and Judges, the textbook. And don't forget the Living Waters mug, the Evidence Study Bible, all at...
Living Waters.
Like, wow. Good job, Oscar.
Why do you make me do something
like
that?
That's my challenge, to see if you can keep up every day. All right, friends. Today we are dealing with a very important topic, one that has, as of late, sparked a lot of...
Fire.
Now, we know that people will be listening to these podcasts all through the years. And so this may be, in one sense, old news, but it's always current because Christians are always wrestling with these sorts of things. And the question before us today is it wrong for Christians to go to a gay or transgender wedding? I'm just imagining someone who just got out of prison in some third world country where they don't have internet access like they do here and...
Why is it a third world country?
Cushy beds with fluffy pillows.
I don't think third world countries exist.
They don't.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
We are the first world country.
Sorry, fourth world country.
one, two, four, five.
Yeah. I'm using that as an example, as a contrast from how, you know, I just watched a video on how they treat prisoners in Japan.
Woo.
They're humane, but these guys are like discipline. They have to fold their blankets a certain way.
Oh, you would thrive.
I know. I'm like, I could be a prison guard.
He's going to volunteer. No, to be a prisoner.
Yeah, really.
You know what?
This is the best.
I would actually enjoy that.
Have you seen those programs that I got arrested overseas for, and they throw them in prisons? It's horrific. No. I can't even watch them. They're so horrible.
No, our prisons here are
really nice.
They're resorts.
Tell California.
Us about them. Yeah. You're the one who spent time in jail.
One night. There.
Yeah. But no, I was just saying that to say, you know, imagine someone coming out from a prison in a country where they don't have access to anything. And this was like 30 years later. And they hear what we just asked, like the question, like, is it wrong for a Christian to go to a gay or transgender wedding? What?
First, they'd have to be like, what do you mean? What is a transgender?
Right. That would be one thing. And then what do you mean a gay wedding? There's no such thing. But boy, have times
changed. What do you mean a wedding?
Yeah. Pretty much these days. So guys, this is something that I think our listeners would appreciate us addressing. And I want to do so today tactfully and respectfully, but genuinely and authentically and openly. Because, oh, shall I give you more adjectives?
Yeah.
Right? I was just going to say, Mr. Thesaurus.
let's kick this off and get everyone's input on that. Ray, I'll start with you.
No.
Thank you for joining us today.
I wouldn't go. I just wouldn't even think of it. Especially, we're talking about someone who said, I would go and take a gift. Well, why don't you take a party hat as well if you're going to celebrate something that's called a wedding that is not a wedding?
Wow.
It's call it anything you will, a celebration between two homosexuals or whatever, or transgender people that are going to be partners or whatever, but it's not a wedding. A wedding is something that's wholly sanctified by God and instigated by God, and it's between a man and a woman. So I would not put a stamp of approval on it and say, oh, this is fine. Here's a gift. Here's a party hat. Let's all party together. The prodigal's father didn't throw a party until after the son was repentant.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you rejoice. That's sure. When you celebrate. That's when you put on a party hat and kill the fatted calf. And Peter would love to hear that. Peter would love to kill the fatted calf. No, sorry. Let me just say that again. Kill the fatted cabbage.
Yeah. How do we transition out of that one?
The living vegan translation.
Right. Oh, that would be a good idea to put out.
A living vegan translation.
Yeah.
And the pages can be lettuce leaves.
They have to be.
Yeah.
Can't kill the trees.
Yeah, but Ray, that's really a great point. You know, the fact that we even call it a wedding,
right?
You know, it is so insulting to the institution of marriage that the Lord established. And so Mark, what are your thoughts on this?
There's no way that I would attend a wedding ceremony of two guys, two girls, a guy who thinks he's a girl, because marriage has already been defined, right? And whenever it was, the U.S. Supreme Court came along and tried to redefine it, which it was unsuccessful. And in 2008, we had Proposition 8, No on 8, Stop the Hate, Don't Discriminate. And I remember I was out in Hollywood Boulevard, and I was holding one of those, a sign going up against the proposition, and I was open air preaching, and there was an actor from a show called Desperate Housewives that came up against me, and people recognized who he was. They were all super excited. Very eloquent man, graduated from USC. And he said, man, listen, stop the hate. I mean, what does it bother you that if two guys that love each other, they want to get married? And I said, sir, look, I'm not hating on anyone, but if you're going to allow two men to get married, well, then why not three men? Why not a man and his dog? Well, how about a woman wanting to marry herself? Or how about a guy who wants to marry himself because of the tax benefits that's attached to it, who's been diagnosed with dual personalities? You can attempt to redefine marriage, but you can't. I read an interesting thing about President Abraham Lincoln, who was once embroiled with a dispute with a colleague and unable to get his opponent to see the error of his thinking. Lincoln said, hey, let me ask you a question. How many legs does a cow have? Well, a four, of course. Okay, well, now suppose, continue the president, what if you call the cow's tail a leg? Well, then how many legs does a cow have? Well, five, replied the man. See, that's where you're wrong, replied Lincoln. Calling a cow's tail a leg does not make it a leg.
Wow.
That's quite a tale.
You see, the world we live in seems obsessed with calling a cow's tail a leg for fear of offending the cow who insists that he has five legs. Hmm. Tolerance has become a virtual idol, and the number of its worshipers seems to grow daily. And faced with so many differing claims to what is true or what is the proper way to live one's life, intolerance has become the only acceptable response. A person who believes in transcendent truth is regarded by the world with suspicion and paradoxically intolerant because we have an objective stance.
Who's that quote by?
I don't know.
I said it.
Wow. I love that quote by Lincoln. That's really, really powerful, you know, and that I think is a reflection of the insanity that's found in the day and age in which we live, you know, where that's exactly what's happened. We've made it acceptable because people just want to randomly and arbitrarily do it. We've accepted calling things things that they're not. And I think that this is more than anything destroying and doing a massive disservice to the next generation.
We love to give things away. We love to give things away. And that's why we will do that every single day here on the Living Waters podcast. That's right, friends. We're giving away goodies for those of you who go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form. We are giving 10, believe it or not, 10 different people each week goodies from Living Waters, $100 value for each box. You'll get tracts and books and a podcast mug and all kinds of good things. So make sure to participate at livingwaters.com/podcast. And make sure to listen to the very end of the podcast where you will hear the announcement of the winners every week.
Yeah, I want to take a step back because...
But you're sitting.
Because I want to imagine that by the nature of the title of this episode, that maybe some Christians are joining us that aren't familiar because they Googled, because they're really sincerely struggling. You know, maybe they're like, yes, gay weddings are not glorifying to God. But then the next, the way that people struggle, and I've discipled a handful of people through this, the way they typically struggle sounds something like, man, I don't believe in same-sex weddings. I don't believe in gay weddings. But I'm always seen as the enemy in my household or in my family. Would this be an olive branch? Can I go to and not affirm? And let me start by saying the desire to not be seen as hateful is valuable and important because God desires us to love our enemies. And I know in the hearts of every Christian, we know that we're no better than our gay brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews and nieces and uncles and whoever the case. And while I do think that there are ways in which Christians can offer olive branches to reach the lost, The challenge that I see is that when you attend a wedding, you are participating. And that's the key here. You are participating. You are affirming. You are playing witness to something sacred. And so when you attend, that's your role. You know, when we get the invitation, some people are like, oh, cool. Some people look at an invitation. A secular way of looking at an invitation to a wedding is like, sweet, I'm in their top 100. Hmm. Oh, cool. I get a free dinner. Oh, great. There's going to be a DJ. Oh, neat. Like they thought about me. But to Christians, a wedding isn't that. It's not an invitation to a party. It's you being invited to affirm a covenant that God is making between one man and one woman. And because that is your role, my conviction is that I can't attend that wedding. Mm. And I've discipled people into looking at it that way as well.
Yeah.
Man, we want to love our brothers and sisters, uncles, nephews, nieces, whatever they are. There are other ways of handing them a gift. There's other ways of spending time with them. But that, for me, is an area that is sacred and defined by the Lord.
Mm. You know, it doesn't happen much anymore, but you'd see the officiant who would stand up there and say, is there anyone that objects?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you have any reason... You know, now is your time. Speak now forever. Hold your peace. I mean, are you going to stand when the bride or when they both walk down the aisle?
Right.
Are you going to smile when they kiss? Are you going to celebrate when you see them at the reception and say, congratulations? I mean, how do you do that with a clear conscience?
Right.
Or when they go on their honeymoon.
Yeah, I mean, how do you...
Wow. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think one of the biggest tragedies today is that we give a sense that compassion and truth are mutually exclusive. And that's a tragedy. Truth is one of the greatest expressions of compassion. How can we have compassion on someone, care for someone, and then not tell them the truth and instead butter them up with a lie or tell them what they want to hear or give the impression that we're in support or what have you. And so I think it's huge. We need to recognize that truth demonstrates compassion and love. And we as Christians can never compromise it. I mean, Ray, without the foundation of truth, we don't have anything.
Yeah, well, we have all these dilemmas we're thrown into, frog and throat. That was one of them. I dealt with it. That is, we've forsaken the instruction book for humanity, the Bible. And when you forsake that, then anything goes. Wow. You know, the cow has four legs, five legs, whatever. Whatever you feel the cow has, because you haven't even looked at what God's word says, which tells us right from wrong, gives us a view of reality, that God made male and female in the beginning. We see our origins, why we exist, and what's going to happen after death. And the world's in darkness, so it just makes up what it wants to make up. You know, I wonder if we're missing the forest because of the trees when it comes to this whole issue, that we are condemning a wedding when the real issue is that we see sinners who are going to hell. Mm-hmm. That's the real issue, whether they be adulterers, fornicators, blasphemers, liars, homosexuals. Scripture begins, be not deceived.
Yeah.
Neither fornicators, let me read it. Do not know, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Boy, that's well placed.
Yeah.
Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the issue. If you see someone getting into a car and it's got no brakes and it's heading downhill, love has to warn.
Yeah.
And we've got to say to homosexuals, it's the same with adulterers, same with fornicators. If you continue in this lifestyle, what you do, whether you pretend to get married or whatever, is irrelevant. What matters? Are you going to die in your sins or are you going to die in Christ?
Wow. Yeah. And I think, too, we need to remember that to make light of something that God highlights as radically abominable to him is in and of itself an abomination.
Yeah.
I mean, think of what Romans 1:26-27 says. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. When we attend a wedding that is celebrating this, we're in essence just saying, oh, that's really, you know, no big deal. And I think that, and I'll talk about this more in a moment, but I think it goes to the desensitization in our culture today. So I referenced it in the beginning, and I want to talk about it, and that is our dear and highly respected brother, Alistair Begg, started a firestorm by coming out with, I think it was a program where he was talking about a grandmother that came and asked him for advice about attending her grandchild's wedding. And I'm still confused whether it was a grandson or grandchild, but there's transgenderism involved, homosexuality. And Alistair Begg pretty much said that he advised the grandmother to attend and to take a gift. And that the reasoning behind it is that we don't want to continue to give this impression that we as Christians are always contrary and that we're not loving and so on and so forth. But let me say very clearly that Alistair Begg is a solid, godly man who does not affirm homosexuality,
right.
who's even publicly stated he would go to prison if he had to in order to stand up for biblical truth and if he was called upon to compromise or whatever.
And at the same time, he's a very sweet guy. I had dinner with him, Kirk and I had dinner with him many years ago, and just a very nice guy.
Oh, he's one of the most respected Bible teachers, one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him and respect him. And yeah, and I met him as well. Kirk had him on a television interview, and you and I were there for that. And I got to, you know, talk to him a bit. Great, great brother. And so...
And to add one other thing, he has clarified he is not generally saying all Christians should go to gay weddings. He is saying this specific person in this specific instance, I advised in this way.
Right.
And so I think when we talk about this, it's just really clear that we don't get wrong. We want to be charitable and not get wrong what he's saying.
Right. And I want to, you know, again, I want to say that this is not a time for us to be harsh on our brother. And many have been, and that's grieved me deeply. And so I think we can also talk about how do we deal with...
He also got canceled, didn't he, in a couple of places?
Yeah, he was removed from a big radio network. And a lot, and you know, a lot of leaders have kind of pulled back. And so I think the whole thing is tragic. I'm heartbroken because I know that it has unquestionably limited his reach and effectiveness. And I think that's a tragedy because, you know, I don't think it should... But that's how human nature works, you know.
It's ruined a great reputation.
Yeah.
You know, if it had been me, I would have said, whoops, because I do it all the time.
We know.
Yeah. And so, you know, we talk about these things. And the reason why we're talking about it is because it is out now in the public, because Alistair has been approached. And a lot of Christians in instances like this will look and say, well, look, this was a public thing that happened, so it can be addressed publicly. And I would look and say, technically, yeah, it can, and if people choose to, they could. My heart in these sorts of things would always be, even if it can be addressed publicly legitimately, if possible, try to address it privately first.
Oh, that's so true.
Because that's what love does. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love,
peacemaker.
Yeah, so you could look and say, well, this was public, I'm going to do it publicly. And some people that I really respect and love did it publicly, and they did it tactfully and wisely. But I would go a step further and say, if those who know Alistair could have approached him privately and said, brother, hey, we just want to bring this to your attention. If at that point he says, nope, I'm sticking with it, then I think it's, you know, it's great to move forward in that regard. But nonetheless, here's where we're at. And I'd like to talk about that, guys. What do you think about the way people have responded, and how should we respond to things like that, Mark?
I haven't listened too much to what people have to say about it. I did listen to the briefing with Al Mohler, and he discussed it, and he said, listen, my stance has always been what it's always been concerning the subject. It's very simple. I mean, men have been swallowing nonsense since the beginning of time. We need to stick to our guns, listen to what the Word of God has to say, and leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, easy. You and I, we've talked about, well, where do you draw the line, right? I mean, if someone said, well, if you love me, Grandma, I understand I just got out of prison, but I need some money. Would you mind, you know, being the driver of my getaway car? Or listen.
What kind of car?
Or sit in the back seat of my getaway car. Would you be willing to do that? If you love me, would you be willing to do that? And that's nonsensical, right? But this is what's happening with our day and age, the way we are normalizing sinful behavior. And we need to be careful of that. You know, we become a generation that laughs when a baby is ripped limb from limb in the womb, yet we cry when someone calls them by the wrong pronoun, right? Transgender people, they come along and they say, listen, I want you to accept me for the way I am, but they can't accept themselves for the way they are, right? Mm. I was reading earlier today, it was so interesting about a group that... this transgender community, they promote equality. And if they promote equality, why do they have so many labels, right? Mm. This website that I found this stat from says, Love Has No Labels. That's the name of their website, Love Has No Labels. And then they proceed to tell us how many labels are found within the LGBTQIA+, which includes individuals who identify as queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, and more. Right, so it is a very sensitive subject, but it's a very simple answer, very simple on how we respond to the midst of this, and we don't apologize. This is why I love MacArthur so much. Mm. You know, when he goes on CNN and other places, when he's asked a question, he just states what the Bible has to say.
Yeah.
My opinion is absolutely irrelevant. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak it in love, to your question. In all things, we're charitable. Of course, right? Our brother gets a mulligan. He gets a do-over. But he needs to be able to speak up in the midst of this. He's going to be asked this again. And I fear for the people that have listened to this that use that as a license now to sin. Mm. Or someone who's struggling with their own identity, and now they're going to head down that route. Because that's where it's heading. It's a very slippery slope. Yeah. You know, if I say that I identify as a 4'2" pygmy albino, do I get a scholarship for those who qualify for such a realm?
I hope no one's listening that's Ray. A 4-foot pygmy albino.
Ray was like, I wish I was 4'2".
You know, I wish I was that tall.
If I said I identify as a paraplegic, do I get a handicap placard? You know, just because I'm saying that I am. And the truth of the matter is, no, we don't. Because with truth, there's consequences.
Well, that's the question that I would humbly ask our brother Alistair, and I mean it sincerely. You know, if it were the same situation, and that same grandmother, and again, with what Oscar said, let's say this was the individual counsel he gave someone, but if it was the same grandmother, and she said, "Look, someone just asked me if I would attend their wedding. It's this gentleman who's marrying his daughter." And he asked me if I would attend. This is a real longtime friend of mine, and I care for him. Or, you know, my friend is marrying his animal. I mean, we could think down the line when these things will become legal, because they're already trying for that. What would he say in that regard? You know, because Ray, the perspective is, if you don't go, it's like you now are showing that you don't care about this person. But it's... no one is saying this means end your relationship with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, right. That's very valid.
Yeah, we can continue. We can say, no, I'm not going to this, but it doesn't mean I'm not ever going to talk to you as my grandson or love you and so forth, right?
Absolutely. It's a really hot issue, and it's one that I think so many Christians are fearful to even go near. And I'm wondering if maybe it's because we don't want to bear the reproach of Christ. Mm. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right. Men love darkness and hate the light. So when you bring light into a dark situation, they're going to turn their hatred on you. But it's something we've got to bear.
Yeah. Yeah. And Oscar, we can say to someone, look, I mean, and someone brought this point up as well. This grandchild was probably already expecting his grandma not to go. Mm. He knows she's a believer. He knows where Christians stand in this regard. And so, you know, let me ask you this. How would you articulate it if it was your grandchild and this scenario came up? What would you say?
That's a really good question. I would I take them out to lunch, dinner, buy them a meal, and walk them through something that I've said on the podcast before, which is the idea of respect, protect, and reject. It's three part. It's, listen, I want you to know that I love you and I respect you as a human being. Mm. And if anybody is ever... diminished your value and worth as a human being by using homophobic remarks towards you, by belittling you, man, I would stand with you and against that behavior. I respect you. Uh-huh. I also protect your rights as a human being, as a fellow American. There are Islamic parts of the world where you would be murdered for this, and I would stand against that and for you. But also, please recognize that you and I don't agree on our views of sexuality. And so I'm rejecting your view in sexuality. But then I would say this, notice that you're also rejecting my view of sexuality. Mm. And what, because here's the thing, is that if you look at me and you say, man, how dare he not go to my wedding? What you're telling me essentially is you have to agree with my views on sexuality. You are forcing your worldview, your belief system on me. Mm. And if I don't adhere to it, you're going to push me out of your life. And please see, I haven't done that with you.
Wow.
I am not pushing you out of my life. Mm. So could you respect me in the same way that I'm respecting you?
That's so good,
Whoa,
Oscar.
That's good, Oscar.
That's good. And I hope those of you listening have found that helpful. That's a great model. Because Mark, I think whenever people think about this, they constrict time, which means that they're envisioning the grandchild asks and on the spot, no, I'm not going. And it's just like this, boom. But I love that, Oscar, that approach of Let's go out to eat. Let's sit down. Let's cut maybe a little space between asking and sitting down and talking. You know what? Thanks for inviting me. I'd love to take you out to lunch and discuss that further.
We need to think through these things now. We need to establish our thoughts and the scriptures and how we're going to handle these things, because it's not if this is going to happen. It's when yep. these things are going to happen. They will become normalized in our generation. Mm. We're going to see things pass, more than likely, if not our generation, the next generation, where adults will be able to marry kids, or we'll see something become legal that should always remain illegal.
Right.
It's an insane asylum, right? And we have lunatics that are running the insane asylum. Mm. I cannot have... No, listen, if it was my son in the same situation, and amen to everything that Oscar said, I want to memorize what he had said, but I will allow them into my house. Like, if they were to get married, I would allow them into my house. I would not allow them to be inside the same room. Mm. You know, it's, all right, we're going to bed. All right, well, you're sleeping in separate rooms. You're in separate rooms. You got to understand that. This is not a house like that. So I will love on you. I've shown that I love you. Love is a verb, John Mayer says, but Christ said it first, right? Love, it's an action. Right. It's something that needs to be demonstrated through what we do and how we behave. So they would never question my love for them, because I've demonstrated my love for them up until this point.
Yeah.
Right. So, right.
Yeah. And this is really a good thing for Christians to think through and to realize at the same time that sometimes we all land in different places, you know. And I think, Mark, you and I maybe discussed this before, I can't remember, but I wrestle with that on a personal level. Like, would I allow my child who marries someone else continue to come to my home and to like be part of family gatherings and family events? And the reason why I'm thinking through that is because how does that impact the next generation within the home?
Right, and that's a great point, because it depends on the kids. Well, I mean, who's there
right.
in the midst of that?
Yeah.
I can't just celebrate and pretend like there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about me and them directly, individually, with Got nobody it. Else
yeah.
around.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I've spoken with family members that have wrestled with that. Like, what do I do? You know, do I let them just come around together? Do I say to my child, look, I love you, you're my child, but I can't in any way give any sense of normalcy to this, you know?
Absolutely.
It's stuff to wrestle through and think through on different levels, and recognizing that, yeah, the heart is, man, we want to be a light. We want to reach them. And we're going to do it in a way that's not compromising. Like you're saying, Mark, that's not compromising for you, because you're clear, but you're not allowing the occasion for sin within your home, but you're looking at them as two unbelievers and you want to reach them, even though it's your child.
Easy. Would you attend a wedding, a man marrying a woman, the man is your son, he's a believer, but he's marrying a non-believer? Would you attend a wedding where your saved son wants to marry a non-believer?
No, absolutely not.
See, I mean, so what we're demonstrating here is, listen, we have convictions, right. and there's nothing wrong with having yeah. These convictions.
Yeah, and the reason why I wouldn't do that is because it's unbiblical, right?
That's right, that's exactly
he's
right.
He's professing Christ, he can't be unequally yoked. But Ray, I want to bring out this other point that someone mentioned to me, and I was like, oh, I didn't even think about this, in regard to this whole thing with our brother Alistair and the grandma. So Ray, one thing we leave out often in these situations is what Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-39, do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And often these words get lost amid the modernized version of Jesus, that Jesus actually brings division between families. Speak to them.
Yeah, so while we're on the subject of causing division, we might as well go all the way and share the gospel with them.
Hmm.
And just yesterday, I spent 20 minutes in a very spirited conversation with this young lady who was very angry because her parents were hypocrites. They were professing Christians. I said, were they hypocrites? Yes. Ended up with divorce, leaving her scarred. So I shared the gospel with her, and there was still that between her and I could just feel it. She wasn't saying, absolutely, this is meaning a lot to me. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
She just said, but I'm gay. Mm. And I said to her, what's that got to do with anything? You are in big trouble with God. You've told me you're a liar, a blasphemer, a thief. And she started nodding. And it's not, we can share the gospel without bringing up the subject that's going to make them put their boxing gloves on.
That's a good point. Yeah.
They're ready for it. So you can just share the biblical gospel without compromise. And then in the end, and she took this, I said, and by the way, I can't remember her name. I said, by the way, when you do repent, that means you turn from lying, stealing, blasphemy, fornication, adultery, and homosexuality. I said, the miracle is that God will give you a new heart so you love righteousness. And she nodded and took my book from me, which was wonderful.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, Ray, too. I was going to allude to it that, you know, we cannot leave the gospel out of these conversations. And I think there's no more fitting predicament in which we can bring it up. And here's why, because, and we find a tactful way to take it back to Christ. Here's what he said. Here's what sin is. Here's God's wrath and judgment against sin. Here's God's solution for sin, however. You know, the Bible says such were some of you, and that's even referring to homosexuality. It shows that God can change the heart and the person. And the so it's important that we don't lose that in the midst of it all.
I heard somebody say in response to a homosexual saying, I was born this way. And their response was, well, that's why you need to be born again. Born from above.
I love that. But Mark and Oscar, what do you guys think about that whole element that we often leave out, that Jesus does often bring division, not because we're stupid, zealous, tactful, if I can use that word, Christians, but it's because we're standing up for righteousness.
Yeah, I think that I'm glad you said that last part of it, because that verse can often be used as an excuse to not be tactful, to be a jerk for Jesus. Right. But ultimately, what that verse is reminding us of is that the world rejected Christ, God, the creator of everything. They put him on a cross and crucified him. And now, as a Christian, Christ lives in you, right? You put on the Christ. You are hidden in Christ. If they rejected the world, they're going to reject you. But it's not you who they're rejecting. It's the Christ in you that's being rejected. And that's where our comfort comes from. And so this verse is a prime example. This is picking up your cross is going to mean sacrifice. Yeah. It's going to mean relationships that are strained, not because of your behavior, but because of the Christ that lives in you.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think I have anything to add to that. We have to understand that we're going to get this persecution, as Paul talks about in Corinthians, from outside and from inside, from people that we've labored long with and people that we've just met. If we stand on the word of God, then we're safe. We're fine. You know, I wish that he would have reached out to other people, you know, and asked other people what their thoughts were on it. And before he gave advice like that, I'm surprised that he did not do that, you know, and hence he's being canceled. I unfollowed him on Instagram. Obviously he doesn't care, but I'm like, you know, I just don't have time. I want to follow certain people who are just extremists for Christ, if you would, right? That just, I want God more than anything, and I want God's word to get out there, and that's it. You know, but I give him a mulligan. You get a mulligan. I don't know what that means, what that looks like, but I'm not inviting you to speak at my conference.
What is a mulligan? Do you have one before?
It's when it grows back after you get removed. You know, I will say this, just because on that note, let me say something as a word of encouragement, which is I remember when I first became a Christian, I was so hungry for preaching. This is like pre-social media internet. I was just out there Googling away, and I come across this old, I can still picture it to this day, this like Generation 2 internet website, and it was Gospel for Life, and it was this dude with the weird accent. It was Alistair Begg, and I remember I was so blown away because the sermons were categorized by verses.
Wow.
And it was like my first introduction into expository preaching. And I, because you couldn't stream then, I downloaded those MP4 or MP3 files, whatever they were, burned them onto a CD and would just consume. And so to your point earlier, because we've, you know, I've seen some people like go online and be like, oh, RIP Alistair Begg, recant or burn. And it's like, that's not on the table here. Right. You know, this is a brother who has faithfully served Christ, who still is faithfully serving Christ. And and I think, you know, we're 45 minutes in. It's clear that we lovingly disagree with him, but we should do that charitably, remembering that he's our brother in the Lord.
Amen. And again, one of the, I think, greatest preachers of our time and a stalwart for truth, a man who's taken a stance for righteousness uncompromisingly. And so, like I said, I think this is all sad and tragic. And my hope is still that this can be rectified. My hope is that our brother would look at this, talk to other respected godly men in his circles, and get their input and be able to look and say, you know what? Now that I think about it, I actually wouldn't give that advice. And now I see why.
Well, after hearing this podcast, how could he not?
So anyhow, well, there you have it, friends. Ray, were you going to say something?
No.
Good. Thank you, friends. Don't forget the School of Biblical Evangelism textbook, Living Waters mug, Evidence Study Bible, all livingwaters.com. And don't forget, too, please write to us. We love to hear from you. Mark, you're staring at me like you like me.
No, I was wondering if you're going to ask people to send me socks. You don't need to. I just love them.
Please send Mark your used holy socks. He would love them.
It's just going to be a bit weird.
Yeah, it is weird. So anyhow, friends, make sure to do all that good stuff. Remember, podcast at livingwaters.com with your thoughts and ideas, and give us those ratings and comments and all that good stuff. Thank you for joining us, friends. We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters podcast. Hey, hey, I'm bringing it back where we have no idea what we're doing.
I think I just heard a glass break.
Oh, wait. The Living Waters podcast. Winners, winners, winners. That's you, friends. Those of you who I'm about to announce are the winners of this week's podcast giveaway on the Living Waters podcast. We've got Carlos from Lamont, California, Daniel from Jamestown, North Carolina, Ed Washburn from Tennessee, David Norwood from North Carolina, Doug Campobello from South Carolina, Ali from Falls Church, Virginia, Adrian from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Joshua from Excelsior Springs, Missouri, Eva from Bow Island, Canada, and Penelope from Bardwell Park, Australia. Shout out to the Aussies and the Canadians out there. Friends, you can get this too, those of you who are listening. Just share the word and sign up for the Living Waters podcast.